Blessed be the great Mother of God, Mary most holy. Words, my friends in Christ, from the Litany. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're very familiar in our modern media culture with the phenomenon of a demonstration. However, in our own society, demonstrations tend very much not to be spontaneous. They tend to be organized by political organizers and political agitators, very carefully choreographed so that they can get the maximum amount of bang for their buck in terms of publicity. It is rare that there is a spontaneous outpouring of popular sentiment for one thing or another. Perhaps you might have that when a sports team wins the Super Bowl or basketball team, but generally a spontaneous demonstration is something which really does not occur anymore. A long time ago, however, a true spontaneous demonstration occurred. The whole city turned out in the streets after dark. They carried candles, and the candles twinkled in the darkness, and they surrounded the cathedral where the bishops of the world were meeting. And a chant went up of one word of four syllables. Theotokos. 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 The Greek word for the Mother of God. The story behind that demonstration and today's feast ultimately is this, that it occurred in Ephesus in the East in 431. What led to this demonstration occurred 3 years earlier. The Patriarch of Alexandria was Nestorius, and Nestorius, from a desire to defend the idea that God does not know human limitations, he denied that the Virgin's Son is God. And he said that anyone who calls our Lord, him who is Emmanuel, true God, or anyone who says that the man formed in the womb of the Virgin Mary was the only begotten Son of God is deserving of anathema. The heresy, of course, named after him, the heresy of Nestorianism. And you can see, by the way, here an illustration of what happens with heresy, that sometimes out of a desire to emphasize one point of Catholic doctrine, one selects that and goes too far. For actually the root meaning of the word of heresy is selection. But you select the wrong thing and you go too far with it. So this was the heresy of Nestorius. And he had it preached before him in a sermon at the cathedral during which he sat at his patriarchal throne. And the preacher said, we will not adore the two-month-old child who is fed milk. We will not call him who fed into Egypt Emmanuel. We will not call the Blessed Virgin Mary the Mother of God. So there's dead silence in the cathedral. And a layman stood up and pointed his finger at the preacher and said, heresy and anathema. And one priest in the church rushed up to the pulpit and tried to drag the preacher down. There's a tumult in the cathedral. And the controversy spread throughout the whole Christian world. Nestorius was deposed from his position as patriarch, council, and a council of the church was called. And the issue at the council was Theotokos, Theotokos, God-bearer, or in Latin we'd say Dei Para, or Dei Genetrix, or Mater Dei, the Mother of God. St. Cyril of Alexandria gave the following defense for Catholic doctrine. He said that the Blessed Mother is called Theotokos because she brought forth not a mere man like ourselves, but him who was the Word of God, the Father. The Word made flesh, made man. And he continued, she brought forth Emmanuel, who is true God. And he said, to deny that Emmanuel is the true God is to overthrow the mystery of the incarnation. So, in 431, the Council of Ephesus opened, and Cyril tried to convince Nestorius of his errors to get him to retract, but it was to no avail. So Nestorius and his heresy were condemned by the bishops of the world. There's a very famous, or a very beautiful representation of the Council of Ephesus, which deserves to be more widely known. It is actually it's down in the Cathedral of Covington, and it depicts the Council of Ephesus, the fathers of the council meeting there, and underneath it has panels depicting the different doctors and fathers of the church who defended the Catholic doctrine on the motherhood of God. It's one of those things in our area that perhaps you haven't visited, but really is worth a good visit. It's extremely inspiring, and is the actually it's the largest stained glass window in the world, right down here in Kentucky, what some of us consider America's own Holy Land. So the Protestants now, out of their desire to denigrate the Blessed Virgin Mary, ridicule regularly the idea that Blessed Mother is the Mother of God. This is something that is out of that they do out of ignorance. That they explain it this way: that well, it makes Mary into God, and a human being begetting God is ridiculous, etc. But they make the same error as Nestorius did, that Our Lady brought forth the Emmanuel, the one who is God with us. God with us. And the Council of Ephesus said that there is a union of the Word incarnate in a person in such a way that there is one person in Christ, the person of the Son of God, and the same person who was born a man from the Blessed Virgin Mary. But because of the nature of the Protestant theological errors at the root of their teaching, they deny this. In wishing to deny the role of the Blessed the Blessed Virgin Mary, they end up in effect becoming Nestorians on this point. The story of Nestorius, though, I think, gives us another few points to think about, especially in our own time. Some people will say that, well, with regard to the post-conciliar popes, that you cannot really say that they are heretics or that they have lost their office until there's a declaration from the council to that effect. Now, if you look at the story of Nestorius, you see, though, what happened, that he was regarded as having lost the Catholic faith, having lost the Orthodox Catholic faith, the teaching of the Incarnation and on the Blessed Virgin Mary. And people regarded him as a heretic, and they no longer treated him as the true patriarch of Alexandria. His subjects refused him obedience. And in fact, there's a famous protest that the monks of Alexandria wrote against Nestorius. They wrote this to the emperor because their idea was that you'd get the emperor to come down and get rid of this heretic. And in this letter of protest to the emperor, they said, "An emperor have we, but no patriarch, but no bishop." That he is a heretic, that he has no authority over us, in effect. So you can see that in our own time, In our own time, there are many parallels that one can find in history, and this occurs time and time again. When one recognizes an error, when one recognizes the heresy, there is an accompanying lack of authority. In other words, the person who is in a position of authority of jurisdiction in the Catholic Church, such as a patriarch, such as a diocesan bishop, such as even a pope, puts himself outside the church, and whatever appearance may be to the contrary, loses his authority over those who have retained the true Catholic faith. The monks of Alexandria realize this, and we ourselves realize it as well. So there are many lessons that we can draw from today's beautiful feast, the Maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Pray to Blessed Mother during this month of the Holy Rosary. Honor her maternity. And honor her as especially when you recite the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and when you recite the Divine Praises at Vespers as well, where we acclaim Blessed Mary as the Mother of God with the words, "Blessed be the great Mother of God, Mary, most holy." May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.